My name is Makima. I am the director of public safety. I would like to take a moment of your time to address the citizens of our quiet little district regarding certain recordings that have been circulating on the public broadcast networks. Recordings which have, shall we say, presented the conduct of my hunters in a less than flattering light. These recordings are affiliated with a hunter who maintains his own broadcast channel. A man who has built quite a following for himself. And the matter at hand stems from a civil dispute involving small interlocking contracts originating in a neighboring prefecture. I would like to walk you through four incidents, four separate occasions on which my hunters were called to act. I will present the facts as they were observed. I will present the conduct as it was reported. And then I will allow you, the citizens, to reach your own conclusions. I find that people so often reach the correct conclusion when given the right facts, in the right order, by the right voice. Let us begin. On the eighth day of the third month, a resident of our district, a Mr. Joseph, contacted my office. He reported that a strange man had appeared at his home earlier that morning. A man wearing a cap. A cap with the delivery service logo, taped on by hand. Mr. Joseph also reported that a package had been left at his door. A package whose shipping label, in his words, did not look quite right. The package was later determined to contain rubber ducks. I will give you a moment to sit with that detail. Rubber ducks. I find it useful, sometimes, to let small absurdities breathe. They tell us so much about the people who deploy them. Mr. Joseph believed the man at his door was a hunter named Benjamin, a broadcaster. He believed Benjamin had been sending people to his home to harass him, in connection with that civil dispute in the neighboring prefecture. While my officer was still on the line, Mr. Joseph reported that two women had stepped out of a parked vehicle and were approaching his property. A man remained behind the wheel. My hunters responded. The driver identified himself. He claimed at first to be in the area for unrelated reasons. He later admitted he had been filming Mr. Joseph as Mr. Joseph walked the perimeter of his own home. He stated that the hunter Benjamin had flown into our district the day prior and had offered him compensation in exchange for his services as a cameraman. The driver was warned. He was instructed not to return. A short distance away, another of my officers located the vehicle that had carried Benjamin himself. A traffic stop was conducted. Benjamin was identified. He stated he was here filming a series about the civil dispute, about contracts, about small interlocking pieces. Both men denied involvement with the package of ducks. Both men were warned. Both men were released. You will notice, citizens, that my hunters did not arrest anyone that day. We are patient. We are measured. We give people the opportunity to choose a different path. I always prefer it when people choose for themselves. It is so much more meaningful that way. On the ninth day of the third month, Mr. Joseph contacted my office again. A new man was at his door, ringing the bell, knocking. The man had pounded on the door, had opened the screen, had attempted the handle, had peered through the windows of the home. My officer responded. The man identified himself. He stated he was attempting to help his friend, the broadcaster Benjamin, make contact with Mr. Joseph regarding the dispute. He explained that Benjamin had posted publicly that he needed local assistance, and he, this man, had volunteered. And then this man told my officer something I would like you to listen to carefully. He admitted that, at Benjamin's direction, he had falsely represented himself to Mr. Joseph through the doorbell camera. He had claimed to belong to a congregation that did not exist. He had told Mr. Joseph that he had been sent by Mr. Joseph's own spiritual leader. I want you to understand something, citizens. I serve a hierarchy. I answer to those above me. I have served the order that gives this district its shape for longer than most of you have been alive, and I have never, not once, taken its name in vain. To wear the cloth of a congregation that does not exist, to invoke the authority of an elder one has never met, to weaponize a shepherd's voice against one of his own sheep, this is not a thing I take lightly. This is not a thing the order takes lightly. This is not a thing any of us in this district should take lightly. But I am getting ahead of myself. The man was warned. He was instructed not to return. As my officer prepared to locate Benjamin himself, the man walked toward another vehicle, and then turned and ran. My hunters did not pursue. He had committed no crime. He was, after all, only an instrument. I am rarely interested in instruments. The vehicle, however, contained the broadcaster Benjamin and his driver. Both men had been warned the day before. Both men had been instructed to stay away. And yet, here they were again. My officer spoke with them. They denied sending the man to the door. They later admitted they had. Benjamin explained that their case in the neighboring prefecture, he believed, could not proceed without an attempt. Benjamin explained that their case in the neighboring prefecture, he believed, could not proceed without an attempt at verbal reconciliation. I find that a fascinating sentence. A man believes a thing, and so the law becomes whatever shape his belief requires. During that same encounter, Benjamin admitted something else. He admitted that the package of ducks had, in fact, come from him. He admitted that he had intended for Mr. Joseph to sign a delivery confirmation on his phone. He admitted that he had intended to use that signature to fabricate a document. A document claiming he could not be removed from Mr. Joseph's property for 5 years. He stated he did not believe there was anything wrong with this. He stated he did not believe there was anything wrong with impersonating a delivery driver. He stated this calmly. He stated this on record. He stated this to my hunters, who had warned him twice now that what he was doing was beginning to resemble something Utah law has a very specific word for. He was warned a third time. He was released. You may ask yourself why. Why release him? Why warn him again? The answer is simple. We do not arrest people for what they might become. We arrest them for what they have chosen to be. I always give my hunters one more chance, one more warning, one more opportunity to choose correctly. It is the third choice that matters. On the 10th day of the third month, Mr. Joseph's wife contacted my office. She reported a woman standing near the front door of her home taking photographs of the residence. The woman, she said, wore long curls, false ones. Shortly afterward, Mr. Joseph himself contacted my office again. He stated that he was going to shoot someone if this did not stop. Multiple hunters were dispatched immediately. I do not let those words pass through my district without a response. When a man in his own home tells me he's reaching for a weapon because he cannot protect his family from a crowd that will not leave, I take that very seriously. My officer located the vehicle. Inside, again, was Benjamin. With him, a woman. Benjamin stated that he was involved in a court case and needed to deliver legal paperwork to Mr. Joseph. He stated that the woman was his process server. He stated that he was following the instructions of the government. He stated that Mr. Joseph kept calling my office to escape responsibility for his alleged crimes. He stated many things that day. Few of them concerned him. My officer crossed the street and took the paperwork to Mr. Joseph himself as a courtesy, as an act of de-escalation. Mr. Joseph declined service. He stated that he believed the entire situation existed for the purpose of broadcast content. My officer contacted the court in the neighboring prefecture and verified that yes, a case existed, and that yes, papers had already been served through proper channels some time ago. The performance on his front lawn was, in the most literal of sense, unnecessary. And then my officer noticed the sign. The sign had been placed on the public strip of grass across from Mr. Joseph's home. The sign depicted Mr. Joseph holding currency in both hands, standing over an elderly man in a hospital bed. The sign bore words. The words accused Mr. Joseph of theft and cruelty, of feeding on a dying man's savings. Benjamin admitted he had placed it. My officer informed Benjamin that his conduct, the repeated appearances at the home, the directing of others to make contact, the photographs, the objects placed upon the property, was approaching the statutory definition of stalking under our law. The law is quite specific. Two or more acts directed toward a specific individual, following, monitoring, photographing, surveilling, approaching, confronting, appearing at the residence, contacting the neighbors, placing objects, using third parties to do any of these things. Benjamin responded that he believed he was following court procedure. He had been warned 3 times. He was arrested and transported and processed. I'm told he was surprised. I find that the people who are most surprised by consequences are often the people who have been told most clearly that consequences were coming. There is a kind of person who hears a warning and believes it is a negotiation. There is a kind of person who hears the word no and believes it is the opening of a conversation. These people are not difficult to identify. They identify themselves every time. On the 11th day of the third month, Mr. Joseph contacted my office once more. Benjamin, recently released, had returned. Or rather, his affiliates had. They were across the street again. they were hanging another sign. They were speaking with the neighbors. My officer responded. Four individuals were observed. One of them was on a video call. My officer asked who he was speaking with. He confirmed it was Benjamin. Benjamin, who had been arrested the day before for this exact conduct, was now directing it again. My officer moved to seize the phone pending a warrant to preserve the evidence. The man holding the phone began manipulating the device. My hunters believed he was attempting to destroy what was on it. The phone was taken from him and he was placed in restraints. Briefly, the altercation was, by my officer's own description, very brief. A search warrant was prepared. A judge reviewed it. A judge approved it. A judge who has absolutely no connections with our department. My hunters proceeded to a residence, a rental property where Benjamin was believed to be staying. The owner of the property reported overhearing the residents speaking of small, interlocking contracts they believed to be stolen. This information was added to the warrant. The judge, who has no connection to our department, approved the addition. We knocked. We announced. We waited. Five individuals exited. One was a minor, released immediately to his family. The other four were interviewed. Three of them, my detective concluded, had been acting at Benjamin's direction. Three of them were released. Benjamin was not. I am aware that Benjamin has, in his broadcast, displayed a medical image, an X-ray. He stated that my lieutenant injured his arm during the arrest. I would invite you, citizens, to look closely at that image. In the upper corner, you will find a small letter, the letter L. The letter L denotes the left side of the body. My lieutenant, in the footage Benjamin himself has published, is handling the right arm. I will let you sit with that detail as well. I have nothing further to add about the X-ray. It speaks, I think, for itself. As so many things do. As so many things do when one knows how and where to look. I would like to close, citizens, with something I want each of you to hear clearly. I understand that many of you have followed this matter closely. I understand that many of you have strong feelings about the underlying dispute in the neighboring prefecture. I understand that many of you believe people have lost a great deal of money. I understand that many of you are angry. I understand that many of you feel justice has not been served. Those feelings are understandable. I am empathetic to them, truly. But nothing, nothing that my hunters did in this district should be interpreted as a defense of anyone involved in that other dispute. Nothing my hunters did should be interpreted as a statement about who was morally correct and who was not. We were not asked to determine that. It was not our role. Our role was to respond to conduct that occurred here in our district, to evaluate the facts available to my hunters at the time, to enforce the law as my hunters established probable cause that the law had been broken. The fact that a person believes himself to be wronged does not exempt him from the laws governing stalking, or harassment, or trespass, or the placement of signs on the strips of grass outside other men's homes. We remain committed to enforcing the law fairly, objectively, and transparently, regardless of who is involved. regardless of what narrative may exist, regardless of who is watching. Thank you for your time, citizens. Thank you for your trust. Thank you for your continued faith in the order that protects this district. The order that has always protected this district. The order that will continue to protect this district. Long after the broadcasts have ended and the signs have come down, and the small interlocking contracts have been returned to their rightful shelves. Sleep well tonight. I am watching over you.